He writes for the Michigan Capital Confidential, also writes for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, and he's on the other end of our McLaren Health Plan phone line. Tom, good morning.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me.
A couple stories that I recently read of yours were pretty interesting. One was titled that a former MEA local president said that their union may lose 40% of his members, including him, if teacher right to work passes. That's a stunning number.
Yeah, he said that, and I talked to a lot of union and public school teachers, and a lot of it is their discouragement with the legislation that's passed. I mean, time after time this year, the NEA has opposed legislation that's passed. And I think my opinion is that a lot of them are, you know, MEA dues are 1.5% of your salary. And a lot of them are paying money and not seeing the results. I think the latest setback for the MEA was the bill that passed that pretty much stated that automatic payroll deduction for MEA dues was not going to be automatic anymore, so that if you are a public school teacher, you're going to have to write a check for your dues.
Tom, the folks that I talk to, especially when I talk to teachers off the record, because none of them really want to seem to come, to put their name out there, but many of them have told me that if they had the option to opt out of paying their union dues and they could do it with some anonymity, that they would do that. That they, like you mentioned, wouldn't pay that money because they better put it in their pocket. Yet they fear from reprisal from what their fellow union members and the union heads might do and say.
Well, I think that's especially true now when you look at not all schools have to do, with Snyder's 80-20 rule, where teachers have to pay 20% of their health care now. Not all the districts are at that 20%. Many are negotiated contracts that are less than that, like 7 or 10%, with the idea that if you didn't negotiate a higher cost, you know, the contract would go to 20% under Snyder's law. But what I think what you're seeing is that a lot of districts are putting in step increase freezes, which means that some teachers aren't going to be getting annual raises or as much as their annual raise as they had in the past. And they are paying more for health care. So they have less money, and union dues are cutting into their expendable income, I would think, more so than in the past.
When we think about these unions, and as your story says, when you're talking about 70,000 public education employees to lose 7,000 of them, that's a lot of members. When we talk to union officials, I ask them 9 times out of 10, why are you not in favor of legislation where people could decide whether they pay their dues or not? And I always hear the same answer. They need as many union people as they could get because they are negotiating for them. They are attaining services from their unions that need to be paid for.
Right. You know, also, it's about money. The Michigan Education Association, we did a story back in March that they're the fourth wealthiest union in the country under the National Education Association umbrella. I guess they, in 2009, 2010, they brought in $77.4 million. So they have a lot of money. They have a lot of members paying dues, and I don't think teachers could imagine a more ineffective union than what they've seen in the last year. As far as, I'm trying to think of one item that the NEA can hang its hat on in the last year that they can say, we did this for you. I will tell you, we've done a couple stories recently about some of the rhetoric coming out of the NEA. Most recently, Steve Cook wrote in the Detroit News that he talked to a teacher that was a second-year teacher in a school district, unnamed school district, who had a master's degree, making $31,000 a year and on a bridge card. You know, and I ask any of your readers to find one teacher in the state of Michigan who's full-time, who's, you know, in the second year of the master's degree making $31,000. We couldn't find it. So, I mean, it's not only that are they ineffective, but, I mean, I'm not even sure they're fact-checking what they're talking about.
Tom, when I talk with, and I've talked with a menagerie, just countless union officials, and when I ask them about union dues, especially dues that go to support candidates or issues on ballots, ballot proposals, I'm always told that, I can't remember a time when I wasn't told that those monies don't come from union dues. From your perspective, is that true?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a technical question that I'm not sure about, because I know they have a political action committee, because that's one of the things that we've written about is what the National Education Association and Northern Michigan Education Association, who they spend money on and what organizations they support, and with the money, and is it aligned with their quote-unquote conservative members. So I can't comment on that because I really don't know how the actual breakdown of where the dues money goes, and whether it goes to their political action committee or whether it goes to the NEA general fund, which pays salaries and that kind of thing.
Tom, in another story you write, despite the deficit, some Dearborn top officials got pay boosts. Talk about that story.
You know, it's funny. We meant to FOIA Dearborn Heights, and by mistake of myself, I put City of Dearborn, and we got their information back. And what that story was about was City of Dearborn officials, the top officials, were getting increases of 9 to 10%. In their salaries, they were getting, there's an agreement at the city that they would get the same amount of settlement that the union members got. But it came, what the city claims is that it came in, later times, so that they were able to get, while other union members were, if you look at the pay, and whenever we FOIA somebody, we look at gross salary. Because overtime is a big part of it. But what we found is that they were getting anywhere from 10 to 12% increases due to old union contracts being settled, and part of the agreement was non-union officials would get a portion of that, but it was also, you know, other incentives and perks that they got. But the bottom line was that, the top five or six administrators got 10% pay cuts at the same time the city of Dearborn was saying they wanted to increase the city millage because they didn't have enough money.
All right, Tom, I got about 30 seconds left. You also wrote in another story where the average Lansing teacher missed 17.6 days per school year. Is that a lot?
You know what? I remember the story, and if I remember correctly, you also put in there that if a student had done that, they would have had a lot more problems than the teacher. And, you know, just to be clear, those days included everything. You know, we were, as far as it, military leave, it included any leave for maternity.
All right, Tom, I got to get to a break. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you.